Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Is there somebody in your life right now who is continually pestering you for something? It may be something that they desperately want, like maybe for you to do more of the dishes, or maybe to pick up your clothes. For among some of those younger with us, it might be for an increase in their allowance or to be allowed to watch more television at night. Or maybe it's to have their very own cell phone. And for some, it might be that you would take time out from your hectic schedule and take them on a nice vacation. Hey, depending on where you're at, it may even be for a date. It might have started out with hints, you know, moving from the subtle to the more obvious. And after a while, it likely grew into outright asking. And maybe that even included some bartering. You may have been given reasons, such as if they didn't get whatever they were asking for, why, they would be the only kid in their neighborhood without one. I was once told, "Dad, if you don't take that call to Edmonton, I will be the only kid in my school who has never moved." Don't blame him. Maybe in an effort to shame you into action, you were informed, clearly, that other parents let their son or daughter have this or do that, but then they're not so old-fashioned. They're with the times. Too bad you're not. Depending on the frequency of the begging, the tone of voice, the whining, your resolve might have grown more resolute to where you declared there was no way ever it was going to happen. Unless, of course, you're the soft touch in the family. Because then you were maybe finally worn down to where you gave in and you consented just so all that nagging would stop. In that case, you could find yourself sitting on the bench with the unrighteous judge of this morning's gospel. The parable is introduced with a reminder that we should pray continually and not lose heart. But it's not the only message here. Jesus tells of a widow who kept pestering an unrighteous judge for justice against her adversary. She was the model of persistence in the face of an unrelenting judge. We could speculate that she had a genuine concern because, though a vulnerable widow with no status in society of her day, she was pleading her case insistently and all alone. She had no lawyer at her side, no male relative to argue on her behalf. But whether her case had any merit or not didn't matter to the judge. What got to him was her persistence. She was driving him crazy to the point of distraction. An experience you may have shared if you've ever had much to do with young children, a teen, or even a spouse. For the judge, the widow was a total nuisance. Now, perhaps it was only her continual presence, her calling out to him again and again, that finally got to him. And though he didn't respect others, perhaps, too, some of his relenting may have been in part because he was worried that all of that widow's fussing was drawing too much negative attention to him and his image, making him look bad. No matter what, he broke down. And he gave her the justice that she had begged for. By his own admission, he didn't do so because he was such a good guy. He didn't do it because he cared for her at all as a person or necessarily believed her claim. He did it for himself, for his own relief, certainly for his peace and quiet. What follows then is the Lord's application. Note, not his exoneration of the unrighteous judge, nor his suggestion that by our repeated nagging prayers, we can so get onto God's nerves to the point where he breaks down his resistance and we finally get our own way. No, what he emphasizes is similar to what he has said elsewhere about how much more the righteous Lord stands ready to provide for us all that we need. To pray continually is simply to acknowledge that it is the Lord alone who truly cares for his people. It is to trust in the one who is the source of our help in every situation. Now, that is faith. Will he find such faith when he comes? Jesus asks. Yes, though it may not always be in the places that we might assume he'd find it. It may not always be in the pew of churches big or small, in committees and boards, in faithful givers and attendees. In the Gospels, it was in a centurion who believed Jesus could heal his slave from a distance. It was in a sinful woman who anointed his feet and who, he said, loved much. It was in the friends of a paralytic who tore apart a roof so they could lower their friend into Jesus' presence. It was in a woman with an issue of blood who, though unclean by law, dared to reach out and touch Jesus' garment and was healed. It was in the Samaritan leper, the one we heard about last week, who was healed and returned to Jesus to say, "Thank you." It was in a blind beggar who recognized Jesus for who he was and called out to him for mercy. The Son of Man did and still finds such faith in what sometimes may seem to be unexpected places. He will find it in the heart of a homeless person who struggles with addiction, yet prays and prays. He will find it in a rebellious teen or young adult or a struggling senior who can't get life to make sense, yet calls on the Lord in their despair. He will find it in a single mom who works long hours at multiple part-time jobs just in order to support her family, and yet faithfully prays and thanks the Lord for the love that she has come to experience through his gift to her of children. And he will find it in the hearts of those who consider themselves just ordinary folk, plain Christians, people who have never traveled the world on a mission of some sort, who have never been instrumental in the conversion of hundreds, rather just everyday people who struggle with bills and health, with frustration and hurt feelings, but people who continue to worship the only true God who can make a difference. People who continue to work hard at forgiving, at loving, at sharing their faith and praying. I'm sure most of us here, if not all of us, have repeatedly prayed about some issue in our lives. It might have been a puppy, it might be pierced ears, but we've prayed about things, and we've done so over and over. In the parable today, the widow is persistent in prayer. She doesn't give up. I wonder, how persistent are we? How persistent am I? Do we pray and pray, but only to a point? Only until we get frustrated, tired, and then ultimately we give up and say, "What's the use?" And if we do that, why do we do that? Do we think the Lord doesn't care or that he doesn't listen? Sometimes, you know, we are so ready to speak, but we're not so ready to listen. Have you ever stopped to listen? Have you ever looked back to some of those times when you have prayed over and over and over again, and now, in hindsight, you realize the Lord responded in ways you had not anticipated, in ways far better than you had asked? Have you ever asked him to help you to listen, to see his hand at work, to understand or accept his will? Too often we've ignored his word and paid no attention to his promise to bring justice to his chosen and to deliver his people, to come to them in their need. Too often we've left the reading and the study of his word to others while we've headed off to tackle life and its challenges all on our own. Do we stop praying because we don't get what we want, even after telling God exactly what we need, how he should get it to us, and precisely when? Jesus assures his hearers that God does listen, and not because we repeatedly nag him, rather because he is just and merciful. God truly cares for his people and their welfare. Far better than they, he knows best what they need. Sometimes it takes a while for us to understand what God has in mind and why. And sometimes it just may remain a mystery of his wisdom. The last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time in persistent prayer. And I assure you that I haven't always got what I told the Lord I thought I or others needed, what I was convinced he should do about it, how and when. I'm beginning to see, just beginning to see, some wisdom in his choices. Choices that were better for those closest to me, though I still dream at times about how it might all have been different. But then, as we so often do, both you and myself, in my dreams, I only imagine how things could have gone so much better if the Lord had only listened to me and done it my way, while seldom, if ever, considering how much worse things might have been if he had taken my advice. Jesus' encouragement to pray always and to not lose heart is a reminder of God's readiness and willingness to heed our prayers, as well as a reminder of the source of our true help in every situation. Jesus practiced what he preached. His ministry was punctuated by his own frequent stopping to pray and praying repeatedly. He taught his disciples how to pray, and he prayed over God's people who, like us, are so often prone to wandering. He prayed in all earnestness in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he did it repeatedly. And even as he died on the cross in our place, his lips uttered words of heartfelt prayer. Father, forgive them. Prayer for you and me. Prayer that was confirmed and answered in his glorious resurrection. Persistence doesn't tell the Lord of our need, so much as it reminds us that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He cares for each of us so much that he sent his Son to pay the debt we never could and to offer us life now and forever, no matter how many times we have failed and broken our word. Knowing today that he loves you as you are, that he loves you more than anyone on earth ever has or ever could, be persistent in prayer. It's his invitation. Do not give up on asking for his help, but be ready to accept his wisdom and guidance. Confident of this, he cares for you, and he knows what is best. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.